Well, how's everybody doing tonight? And I'll let you balance the audio. I've got a big booming voice because I'm used to going to places like East Africa and the Philippines where there is no mic and I have to project really loud. So I'll dial it back based on, you know, your thumb up or thumb down. It is great to be with you for this weekend. Thank you again for the invitation. As Andrew gave you a little bit of a bio about me, I'm from Columbus, Ohio. I'm fondly referred to as Patty, so for the rest of the weekend, you can call me Patty. That's P-A-D-D-Y, not P-A-T-T-I, all right? So enough about me. Everybody up on your feet for a moment, all right? I want to make sure that everybody has been appropriately welcomed, all right? So we're going to take a few moments, and we are going to greet one another, all right? Now, I know a lot of you are used to that traditional sort of greeting of shaking hands. That's not what tonight's about. Tonight, we're going to do things like high fives, maybe high tens, maybe a chest bump if I was close enough to Eddie. All right, we might even do a hug if we know each other kind of better. All right. Whatever you want to do, all right? Every greeting counts for 1 point, all right? However, if you happen to just fall into that greeting malaise and you shake hands, that's minus 5 points, all right? All right, so you're going to keep track of as many people as you greet. Ready? Go. Okay, stop. Great job. Don't go anywhere. I want to find out how you did here. All right. So if you greeted at least 10 people, remain standing. If not, take your seat. Oh, this is good. Very good. All right. If you greeted at least 13 people, remain standing. Oh. If you forgot to count, sit down. Wait a second. What do we got here? 14? 13? Yeah. How many did you get? 70. Wait a second, huh? Each greeting. Oh my goodness. All right. I want to look at the books of these businesses in this room here and just see how you do your math. Did anyone do more than 14? Andrew, what'd you do? 18. This guy knows the game though. Where was our 14? All right, come. Here we go. We've got a nice little gift card for you in the gift shop here. $10 from me to you. There you go. Get you started for the weekend. Don't go crazy in there, all right? Good job. All right. Well, everybody back on your feet for a moment. And this time I need you to find a partner, all right? And husbands, wives, if you're just tired of seeing them already, but you want to connect with somebody else, fine. But if you want to stay together, that's fine. But find a partner, and I'm going to ask you to do something here. So make sure everybody's got a partner. If you don't have a partner, wave your hand. Andrew, he needs a partner. Hold your hand up if you don't have a partner. Excellent. All right. Very good. All right. So we're going to do this thing called Tell Me Something Good. All right. So I want you to share with each other something good that's going on in your life right now. Something maybe that you're thankful for. Something that you are, you know, just really energized about, or something good that's going on in your world. All right? Now, if you know the other person, if you want to go beyond sharing something good with them, you can do an affirmation. All right? So here's what an affirmation is. It's when you say something positive directly to the other person. So it's something positive about them, and it's directly to them. I'll practice one for you. I'll do Andrew. Andrew, thank you so much for being a part of my life for this last year and a half. It has been so encouraging to see how you courageously innovate and strategize to equip other people. I've been in a couple different settings with you. It's been a blessing to get to know you. And I'm glad we're together. Thank you. So that's an affirmation, all right? So anything that's positive about the person directly to them. If you're not comfortable with the affirmation, don't worry. We're going to do it a little bit more detailed later on. I'm going to actually teach you how to do it really well, all right? So take a few moments. When you're done, take your seat, and that way I'll know, all right? So go ahead. Something good. All right. How was that? Is that good? Yeah, so from the beginning, as I begin to share things with you about transformational leadership and about who we are, everything that I'm going to do with you between now and when we leave, what is this, Thursday, Saturday? When we leave on Saturday, is going to be extremely intentional. Because one of the things that's happening and needs to happen within our communities, in our organizations, our families, is the intentionality around leadership and what that leadership should represent and look like, especially if we're going to influence the culture that we live in every single day. So if I were to put our team in front of you and stretch us out across the room, you'd hear about great business successes. For instance, Ford Taylor, our founder, took an apparel company from about $3 million to over $300 million. They became number one in their industry. In the midst of that, he also fell into a lifestyle of adultery. And so you might think I'm gossiping about him. What you're seeing is the first sort of layer of transparency that we actually demonstrate for you as leaders and trainers, that you'll hear a lot of my stories as well. But we do that intentionally as well. And we don't ask you to do that, but we do it for you because we realize that there are a lot of broken people and broken relationships out there in our families, in our businesses, in our communities, with our business partners that are trying to create some kind of a connection to who we are in terms of being authentic, vulnerable, and transparent. So we don't ask you to necessarily do it yet, because it took me a while till I could get to a place where I could start talking about some of my stuff, like the anger issues that used to be a pretty significant part of my life, my own issues that almost destroyed my marriage, my failures in business, and some of my successes. We tell you this stuff at the beginning in large part because we don't want you to think that we're any better than you. We also don't want you to think that we're any worse than you. All right? Yeah, it's important. All right? Look, we're all just on a journey. And as we begin to unpack this journey and we begin to unpack our stories with each other, the more real we can get, probably the more successful we can become. But that's hard to believe, especially in the cultures that we live in nowadays. So for us as your trainers, for me as your facilitator and trainer over the next couple days, my hope is to connect with you with not only my own story and our stories as we've been working with individuals much like yourself, but also to connect some pretty cool things like ingredients, tools, and maybe a recipe that would bring some of this stuff together. All right? So that's my hope between now and the end of our time together, is that your leadership will begin to move to another level. As a baseline of understanding, we believe that if you have influence with at least one other person, that makes you a leader. So right now, as I look across this room, I'm looking at leaders. Leaders of leaders, even if you don't think you're a leader. Our historical processing around leadership is around positional leadership. If I have influence over at least one person, that makes me a leader. We approach it from a slightly different perspective. If you have influence with at least one person, that makes you a leader. And imagine if the influence in those relationships that every single one of us has could actually improve to a level that would allow that influence to impact the lives of not just our families, but our communities and other places that we touch every single day, all right? So now I want you to think about yourself. And I want you to take a moment, and I want you to think about your relationships, your organizations, and what are one or two key things that you want to improve, change, or build into in terms of those areas? And by the way, when I use the term organization, it's anywhere where two or more people are in relationship with each other. So that could be a marriage, that could be a business, that could be a family, it could be a government, it could be a community, a church. So you can define that wherever it fits for you, all right? So think about yourself, some of the roles that you have right now, and I want you to think about, is there one or two things that you'd like to improve? Is there an area that you know that, wow, if I could address that thing right there, I know it would really make a difference for me. So I'm going to give you about a minute and a half to personally process and see if you can write down something for yourself to prepare in advance, all right? All right, ready? Now I need 10 volunteers. Because the room's so big and our time is so limited, the first 10 people who are brave, courageous, and willing to stand up and share what they wrote down with the rest of the room, that'd be awesome. Because I think probably we're going to see some overlap here in terms of some of the things that we want. And if it's all right, I'm going to write down what you want, what you're trying to improve, or what you'd like to maybe even talk about over the next 2 days, all right? So kick us off. Great stuff. These are good. Fantastic, actually. Anybody tell me what leadership skill I was just demonstrating up here? It was listening. It's a special kind of listening. Often evades us as leaders. Yeah, silence. Anybody feel that little awkwardness sort of slip into the room when there's that silence? I'm just standing up here staring at you, kind of, yeah, is this guy going to get this thing over with? Notice there were some pockets here towards the last three or four contributions where the space seemed to get a little bit more silent, You know, a lot of times as leaders, one of the things we do is we actually close off the ability for the introverts, the internal processors, to actually contribute when we go, okay, that's a great idea, let's go. And we haven't really gotten the contribution of the other team members. And because we haven't gotten their contribution, we may have actually left on the table one of the great ideas that could have propelled us or innovated for us or done something that we really needed that day. So while silence does have that awkward feeling for us, don't be afraid of it. It's actually it's a gift for us. And if we can allow it to sort of slip into specific areas of our meetings, we may get contributions from those internal processors, those ones who are kind of quiet, usually the wallflowers, but they may have those great ideas just parked inside their minds. If you can get those people in your organizations to contribute once, and they really feel good about what they contributed, it's like a breakout for them. Then they'll be more comfortable the next time to contribute again and again and again. So think about how you entertain the feedback or the contributions of your team, your family, whatever it might be. Use the gift of silence. It's a great leadership gift. Good stuff. So I'm going to park this. This will be available for the next couple days and hopefully going to give us some great things to think about. I'm going to play a little video off of our virtual on-demand platform called TL On Demand, and this is our founder, Ford Taylor, and I know we just had dessert, but he wants to talk to us about cake right now, okay? So pay attention for a moment.
So let me ask you a question. Do you like to cook? Do you like to bake? Do you like to eat? If you like any one of those categories, let me ask you this question. Have you ever made a cake? Do you have a relative that's made a cake that's better than any other time someone else makes it? Did everybody ask them to bring that cake to any party they go to or that dessert? But see, that's the way leadership is. Leadership is like making a cake. In a cake, many times what you have to have are ingredients and tools. And you have to have a recipe. That's the way leadership is. We have to have ingredients and tools and a recipe to become a transformational leader. In a cake, just like leadership, there are things that go into it that don't taste good on their own, like flour, baking powder. They don't taste good on their own, raw eggs. But when you blend those with chocolate or pineapple and milk, for some reason, when you take those and you put them in the right kind of bowl and you beat the tar out of them and you blend them together, for some reason, that starts tasting really good. And then what do? We take it and we put it into an oven and we cook it. So it's almost like, do you burn it? No, but you cook it. And when it's cooked just right, there's an aroma in the kitchen that smells so sweet. And when the buzzer goes off, what do? We go take a toothpick and we poke it again, and that wouldn't feel very good if you were the cake. And when it's just right, you take it out, you put some icing on it, and then after that, you get another tool. You take a knife and you cut it. Another tool, you put it on the saucer, then you get a fork and you cut it, and then you chew it up and you swallow it. And if you eat the right amount of cake, the good stuff stays and the bad stuff goes. This is exactly the way leadership is. So what we want to do is we want to give you some ingredients and tools and behaviors along with a recipe manual, is what we call it, a recipe that you take those tools, ingredients, and behaviors, and when you finish, when you blend them all up, you beat them up, you cook them, you poke them a little, then you become a transformational leader.
Good stuff. We'll go back to the PowerPoint, Brian. Thank you. So, yesterday was my 55th birthday. I know I only look 45, but anyhow, my lovely bride, Leslie, made me two cakes. Not one, but two cakes, and they were delicious. Now, I left part of that cake at home, so if I get home and that cake's finished already, then we may have a little talking to. But when she was making the cake, she did this same exact thing. She got all her ingredients together. She beat the tar out of those ingredients. She put them together in a bowl. She transitioned them into her pan. Eventually put them into the oven. She went through this same process. We all have certain ingredients. We all have certain tools. We all have certain things that we need. And this leadership cake analogy helps us to sort of look at not only what we have, but maybe what we don't have, all right? And in that process allows us to put the right things together. So hopefully over the next bit of time we have together, you'll get maybe some ingredients that you haven't used before, that you'll have to make a decision, do I want to put that in my leadership cake? And then you're going to get some specific tools that help you to put certain things together, like your list here, so that you can be more effective, all right? So let's all stand to our feet one more time, okay? Here we go. So here's what I need you to do. Find a partner one more time, all right? And I'm going to give you some instructions in a moment. So everybody needs a partner, and if you don't have a partner, wave your hand so I can make sure you get connected to somebody. Ladies, if you guys do have a partner, you need a partner. He needs one. So let's figure this out here. Andrew, let Keith go with him, and you've done this one before. I'll let you sit out, all right? All right, so here we go. Now, if you're uncomfortable with the opposite sex, then ladies, feel free to partner up with ladies and men with men. But if you're comfortable, stay with your partner. Wait for my instructions, all right? Now, I need you to get to a place where you got some space, so turn, look at each other, face each other, and I'll give you the next set of instructions in a moment. So get a good look at each other head to toe, all right? Ready? Now, I need you to turn back to back. These are your instructions. I want you to change five things about your physical appearance. Five things. Then you're going to turn around and your partner is going to point out those changes, all right? So I'll turn you around, but right now, change five things about your appearance. All right, I'll turn you around in a moment. All right? You guys ready? You've turned back to back. Now turn around and point the changes out to each other. All right, don't go anywhere just yet. Don't go anywhere just yet. If you're done, great. If you're not, help each other recognize the changes. All right, ready? Get back with your partner. We're not done yet. Ready? Now back to back. Ready? You just changed five things about your appearance. You ready? Now I want you to change five more things. I'll turn you around in a moment. Five more. Okay, you ready? Turn, face each other, point out the changes. Okay, don't go anywhere just yet. You ready? Back to back. Ready? You just changed five, and then you changed another five. That's 10. Now I want you to change another five things. Okay, here we go. Everybody ready? Turn, face each other, point out your changes. All right, everybody ready? Back to back. You changed five, and then you changed another five. That was 10. Now you changed another five. That should have been 15 changes. Now I want you to change 10 more things. I'm just kidding. You can put yourself back together or not, and then you can take a seat. Give yourself a hand, by the way. Okay. I just put you guys in the laboratory. It's called the change laboratory. A lot of you are ready to kill me right now because you're thinking, if this is what we're up for the next 2 days, I'm not sure I'm coming back in the morning. But look, part of tonight's first session is a focus around change and how we adapt, how we manage change, how we as individuals and those we lead address change. Look, change is happening faster than it's ever happened in the history of mankind. Am I right? All right? So look, change is here to stay, friends. And our ability as leaders to not only be able to adapt to the changes that are happening around us every day, all the time, but also to be able to lead change instead of the tail wagging the dog, maybe the dog gets to wag the tail for a change. As leaders and influencers, what if you could navigate change for those who you have influence with? All right? So change isn't easy, though, is it? That little exercise right there revealed a few things right here in this room. Some of the internal mechanisms that started to go off inside of every single one of you just from being put into that experience was kind of interesting, right? So let's talk about it. What did we just learn? Yeah, there's only so many things you can change. There's a limitation to our change and what we can do. Absolutely. There you go. Isn't it interesting that as soon as you thought you couldn't change anymore, you actually began to think of additional things. So when you're forced into change, the possibilities begin to present themselves. Great. There you go. Yeah. Yeah. Some stuff is easy and other stuff is a little bit harder. Anything else? How about this here? What were you thinking besides wanting to kill me? What were you thinking in the midst of that activity there? Yeah. How do I get creative right now? Very good. Anyone else? Yeah, that's right. Am I going to be in my skivvies here in a few minutes? Could be. I'm kind of crazy that way. Yeah? Anyone else? Yeah, that's right. Because every time you turned around, you had to point out their changes. Not only did you have to do your own changes, but you had to be aware of the other person's changes as well. Yeah, you're right. It, the very things that are part of our personalities begin to sort of crop up, don't they? How about this one? What was the purpose of that exercise, that game? Why would I have you do that tonight? Yeah, it's actually created a unique sort of interaction with you guys. Now, some of you, actually, that made you very uncomfortable, all right? So watch, in this room here, what could have created kind of this way of kind of ice-breaking, we often call it, or getting us comfortable with each other, for someone else in the room, it actually could have increased their discomfort, all right? And that we'll talk about in a moment, just based on the different ways we think and the different ways we're made up as individuals and why one person can have a great experience versus someone having a really negative experience doing the same exact thing, all right? Any other thoughts here? So change comes out of the Greek word metamorphosis, which is based in the root word metamorpho, which is the process of change. All right, and the process of change is something that obviously has a starting point and an ending point. And even when we talked about the leadership cake, we talked about what we do first, the processes that all of us engage in every single day, and how those things come together, what comes first, what's next. Do we actually have processes that are effective? So all of this builds into what we begin to understand when it comes to change and our ability to engage in a change leadership process, all right? Yes, Eddie?
Change.
Absolutely, absolutely, yeah. Because sometimes the initial things that we do are the most obvious. It's when you have to get creative, it's when you have to start to think outside of your normal parameters, that you actually have to do things that maybe you've never done before, all right? So let me talk about that from this perspective of four levels that happen in the change process, all right? The base level in the change process, and this here is very common to most of us, it's the knowledge level, all right? We consider this the easiest level in terms of change itself. You can get knowledge from just about anywhere. You can go onto the internet, you can Google, you can read books, you can listen to a speaker or a trainer. You can get knowledge from a multitude of different places. So the ability to take that knowledge and actually do something with it is really where the change challenge comes from, all right? But knowledge at a base level is the easiest level to begin in terms of the change process, all right? What do I know? What do I need to know in order to see something change, all right? The next level is a little bit harder. This one is called attitude. And the reason why attitude gets a little bit more difficult is because attitude deals with the emotional side of who we are. So y'all have heard about IQ. But now there's a big wave happening in leadership called EQ. It's the emotional quotient or the emotional awareness of us as individuals, all right? And the ability to take that emotional side of who we are, the feeling side of who we are, and actually engage in a productive way. So it's one thing to have the knowledge about something. It's a completely different thing to actually have the right attitude towards what it would look like to change that something, all right? So anybody in the room have children? Good many of you do. Have you ever heard any of your children say, "I don't feel like doing that"? Oh, good, it's not just me, huh? All right. Well, look, that's an example of what it looks like every single day. Whether you're a 5-year-old or a 55-year-old, you're going to have some level of engagement where you're going to have to decide, am I really willing to do this? All right? Because the knowledge about what to do is everywhere. The real question for you and I as leaders is, what am I willing to do that others may not be willing to do? To actually take that knowledge and do something special with it or do something that moves this change process into a place of action, all right? Which brings us to our third level, which is the behavioral level, all right? It's one thing to have the knowledge. It's another thing to maybe even have the willingness and the attitude to change something or engage in some change process. It's a completely different thing to actually execute the action or behavior, okay? Anybody here ever known anyone who's tried to quit smoking? My dad was a 20-plus year non-filtered Camel smoker, all right? He'd tell you himself, I can quit smoking anytime I want. As a matter of fact, I've done it 100 times. Isn't that how we are, though? We begin the mental process of what it looks like for us, and then we get that courage or that willingness to actually engage. Maybe it's the, you all have gone on diets before, right? Right? And then they parade that nice dessert table in front of us, and all of a sudden that will just gets broken, and all of a sudden the behavior, the very thing that I said I wouldn't do, I find myself doing, and then I'm frustrated, right? So behavior is a really difficult thing to change, but it's not impossible. And it begins at this knowledge level and begins to progressively move through. So next to the word knowledge, write the word thoughts, okay? And again, there's no specific note page right now for this. This is just you taking some notes here, all right? I'm going to have you do a knowledge, attitude, behavior exercise in a few minutes. But for right now, you can just take notes on this here. But next to the word knowledge, write the word thoughts, if you are taking notes. Next to the word attitude, write the word feelings. And next to the word behavior, write the word action. Okay? And as we progressively get into this change process, and I show you how it's connected to the way we think as individuals and as leaders, you're going to see that the progression is, if you can change the way you think, you can change the way you feel. If you change the way you feel, you can change the way you act. Okay? So it is a progressive movement and process that allows us to get from one stage to the next. It's metamorphosis. It's the process of change. And it always begins at the knowledge level. All right? So here we go. Knowledge, attitude, behavior. The fourth level of change is what we call the relational organizational level. Relational organizational level. So when you think of the word organization, I gave you a definition, our working definition, but I'll tell you again because you may not have had your pen earlier, but it's anywhere where two or more people are in relationship with each other, all right? So imagine if I choose to stop eating crazy desserts and Eddie joins me in not eating crazy desserts, huh? That ain't gonna happen, all right. We'll pick something else, but go with me for now, right? Yeah, as you can tell, it ain't going to happen with me either. I got my dessert ready for, you know, post-party here, all right? But let's just assume we lose the faculties for a moment or two, and we say we're going to get in shape, and one of the things we're going to do is put the desserts aside, all right? Wouldn't it be a lot more effective if not only I was pulling the rope in this direction, for this reason and with this energy, but he joined me as well in pulling the rope in this direction for this reason with the same energy. Obviously, our success rate is going to go exponentially greater, right? So oftentimes when we experience change or we're trying to initiate innovation in our organizations or do something different, maybe that we know we need to do, but we keep putting it off, we tend to do it alone, don't we? And when we hit that wall or that place of frustration, what do we usually do? That's right, we quit. So I'm going to introduce a term to you later on called bumper buddies. where we actually begin to do something together. We walk down this road together. We pursue our goals and our visions collectively as opposed to individually. And then our success rate actually goes up considerably. All right? So has anyone ever heard of a thing called the tipping point? Well, let me explain something. I've got what I call a good news, bad news scenario. Here's the good news. It actually only takes 3 to 15% of an organization or a culture or a community to shift that organization, culture, or community in a positive new direction. So if we had 100 people in this room, as few as 3 people, if they were doing it for the same reasons, with the same intentionality, trying to shift and move the organization or the culture in a specific direction, could actually shift this group or organization in that direction. That's the good news. That's pretty encouraging, isn't it? So a lot of times we think, oh, this is impossible, right? Not going to happen. There's an example. Everybody ready for the bad news? It only takes 3 to 15% to shift an organization, culture, or community in a negative direction. It's an ism. It's a scientific fact. So in other words, it can work for you and it can work against you. Right? Now there's absolutely no judgment in this statement that I'm about to make here. So please, I want you to make sure that as you hear it from me, it is not from that perspective. I just want to sort of take an example. In our culture, can anyone tell me something that used to be 20 years ago completely unacceptable in our culture has now become almost universally acceptable and within Christian communities acceptable as well? Anybody want to take a stab at it? Yeah, same-sex marriage, that's right. So that was a very intentional group of individuals, this is documented material, who actually said, this is what we're going to do to create the shift in the culture so that what used to be unacceptable culturally can become acceptable. Right? Anybody ever heard of a guy named Moses?
Greatest leader of all.
Well, next to Jesus. All right.
Jesus doesn't count.
We all know that. Yeah, so Moses, you know, he had this huge moving company. All right. So Moses is about to go into some new territory, right? And so he's got his sales associates, these 12 spies, that he's going to send out, okay? And so these 12 sales associates, they go out and they begin to look at the opportunity. And 10 of his sales associates, they come back and they go, this is the worst sales territory I've ever seen in my life. There's no prospects out here. They whine, they complain, blah, blah, blah. Everything is negative. But then there's these two guys on the sales team named Joshua and Caleb. They're the tipping point. They're the 3 to 15%. And they go, well, that's not what I saw. Dude, there's like milk and honey. And man, this land is like, the opportunities are endless in this new area. There's a tipping point. That's an example. What if we have a culture that has a negative vibe going on that tends to be not open to opportunity and possibility? Who's going to be the 3 to 15% that's actually going to stretch into this place where you say, I can see the future and it's really good? I want some of that. Is it going to be us? Or are we going to be part of the negative 10? What are you willing to do that others may not be willing to do in order to see this preferable future? Every single day, guys, every single day. That's the question I get up and I look in the mirror, because I'm not special. I don't have any unique sort of gifts that sort of raise me above the next guy. Put me in a lineup with a lot of other people, I look really common. The thing that makes me distinguished is the fact that every day I get up and I go, I'm going to do a little bit more than the next guy. I'm going to do something different than the other guy. I'm going to lay down my life in a way that actually causes someone to maybe awaken to something that they've never even thought about before. What about you? Just stirring up the gray matter. See, the world's starving for transformational leaders. I mean, starving for it. And your communities are starving for it. Your children need to be raised up in a way that they can actually influence in a community that needs that kind of positive, powerful influence. So it's up to us. And so this is just, again, laying a little groundwork here. Now I'm going to introduce to you these things called the dynamics of change. Now there is a page that I created for you, because there's a lot of writing in this, so you can fill in the blanks as they come. With each of these 9 dynamics that I'm about to give you, I'm going to give you 9 strategies that go along with these dynamics, okay? In part, you experience them a little bit just from that exercise, all right? But they don't all happen simultaneously. You may have one happen in one moment, and you may have multiple ones that actually happen simultaneously. But look at them, contextualize them to your situation, to maybe a current challenge or change that you're experiencing right now, all right? So let's look at number 1. Number 1, you feel awkward, ill at ease, and self-conscious. Question, anybody a few moments ago when I had you stand up, pair off, face each other with very little expectation, feel awkward or ill at ease? It's okay, you can be honest. Yeah, absolutely. All right? That's very intentional on my part. I told you a few minutes, everything I'm doing is very intentional. I want you to feel some of these things that go on when you walk out of here, so that you can connect the dots, okay? But when that dynamic's at play, here's your strategy. Know what to expect and expect the unexpected. So, here's a little bit of what to expect between now and Saturday. We're going to continue to talk about this change process tonight. And I'm going to give you a few nuances that help you as a leader to navigate them. Tomorrow, we're going to talk about gaining alignment and dealing with conflict in a loving way, as someone may have said earlier, okay? Powerful issues often come up and keep us from being productive and healthy in our relationships. And let's all be honest, we don't navigate conflict really well these days, do we? I'm going to give you some tools that are going to help you do that, all right? Effective communication, we're going to talk about that. I'm going to show you how to create cohesive teams and get consensus on those teams. And then we're going to talk about growth for your organizations as you begin to think about your futures and what you might want to do after you leave this place on Saturday. Sound good? So that's the little bit of the expectation that we're going to try to connect to here. Here's the second dynamic, is that you feel alone. Now, I don't know about you, but oftentimes when we are challenged or things are hitting us in an adverse way, we begin to process or think, I'm the only one who's ever gone through this particular issue. I'm the only one who's ever struggled with anger. I'm the only one who's, right? And we begin to isolate and put ourselves in this sort of place where we become even more ineffective, all right? It's a common dynamic. It's a human condition. Here's your strategy when that happens. Structure activities that create involvement. If you're the one who's going through that, you actually are the individual experiencing that dynamic, call a friend. Call a business partner. Sit down with your wife or your husband. Begin to intentionally get out of that hole of isolation. Because if not, you'll find that you'll move further and further into that separation. All right? The other thing is, when you structure activities that create involvement, what if I actually had a team that I could give them not only vision, but empowerment when I pulled them together? In other words, I think someone asked here, how do I run an effective meeting? I forget where it was here. Yeah, about the fourth down, all right? We're going to do that. As a matter of fact, I'm demonstrating the tool right now. When we get to it later on tomorrow, you'll see I've been modeling it in front of you. There's a way in which we can get people engaged. We can allow them to participate. We can go through our agenda, feel really good about what we talked about, and then also feel empowered after we leave those meetings. Anybody want to have a meeting tool like that? We call it the WADEL meeting model. It's spelled W-A-D-E-L. So tomorrow when I introduce it to you, you'll be ready, all right? So that's dynamic number two and a strategy that goes with it. Here's number three. You will be faced with behaviors you have to give up. Your strategy for this, identify what you need to give up. And that may be things, and it may be behaviors. But whatever is keeping you from really accomplishing what you want in terms of an objective or goal, identify it. What is it that's keeping me from blank? All right? So identify what you need to give up. I'm going to give you a tool called a self-evaluation tool. It's the ability to go through a very simple three-step process. And if you can think about that simple tool when this comes up, you'll be able to quickly move through some things that often slow us down and keep us from being effective, okay? So number four, you'll be concerned that you don't have enough resources. I got a question for you. When I had everybody stand up and we started that first engagement, change five things, there was pretty much a collective, really? We're going to change five things about our parents? Probably because I didn't set a whole lot of expectation. By the time I got to the second round, which was the 10, and then the third round, which was the 15, there was actually a shutdown in the room. Even before I jokingly said, change 10 things. Literally, when I asked you to change the third round, the room shut down. You guys were done. You said, I ain't changing no more things. This is ridiculous. What's this about? I wanted you to begin to connect to the feeling associated with the idea that you don't have enough resources. Now I've got a question for you guys. Look around the room. Think about this now that you're outside of the exercise. How long could we have played that game or done that exercise? Come on, did I put any limitations on you? No. Please, did I? No. I didn't say you only had to take things off. You could have started picking things up. Guys, we could have played this game through the weekend. You could have switched partners, right? You could have done so many other things, but guess what happened to our brain? It shut down, didn't it? Our brains begin to shut down because we think that we what? Don't have enough resources. How often does this happen to us? Just about every day, right? So guess what? There's one strategy for this dynamic. get creative. Get creative. Now, I don't know about you, but I look at this room and I see the image of God. In the beginning, God created what? The heavens and the earth. He really got excited. He went through 6 days of creation, right? And then he created us. And he created us how? In his own image, right? Now, is God limited? Let's do that a little bit more enthusiastically. Is God limited?
No.
Are you limited?
No.
Maybe if you believe that you are. Look, if the same God who raised Jesus from the grave lives in us, which he does, then that same power that was used to just go absolutely crazy creative for 7 days is in you as well. That's an affirmation, by the way. You take that as right. That's an affirmation, guys. And if we believe that that's true, we'll begin to respond as if it is true. It's the knowledge that I have that I believe it, right? It's the attitude that says I'm willing to receive it. It's the behavior that says I'm now willing to actually live as if it's mine, right? Scripture says that what? We are partakers, right? You know what partakers means? That means we, our part is to take. Huh? So take part, guys. God's got plenty. He's not sitting there in heaven going, oh my gosh, we're running out of stuff. He's resource rich. He's abundant. There is no end in his supply. When you feel like you're resource challenged, go to the God of all creation, the God of everything, the abundant God, the giver of every good and perfect gift, and access what you think you don't have. Get creative, all right? Number five, and this was evident here a few minutes ago, you can only handle so much change at once, right? So, here's your strategy. Set priorities and go for the long run. Set priorities and go for the long run. So a number of you asked a moment ago about vision, connecting vision with yourself as individuals, your families, your teams. So I'm going to introduce a tool on Saturday called VPMOSA. A VPMOSA is when you take a vision and you connect it with purpose and mission, and then you put specific objectives, strategies, and actions with that vision, purpose, and mission. So that the thing that you see in front of you, the thing that you desire, the thing that God's sort of birthing in that brain of yours, so that you can be part of his creative expression, can actually become a reality, right? How many of you have had a great idea that you just never did anything with? Yeah, come on, they're all over this room. What if you actually took those ideas, wrote them down, and began to actually pen them with specific objectives, like even a chronological sort of objective? Like in the next 3 months, I want this idea to go from an idea to actually a written strategy. And then from a written strategy to actually whatever, okay? So it's progressive, and this tool will show you how to do that. It's called a VPMOSA, all right? Number six, people are at different levels of readiness for change. Your level of readiness is not the same as mine. Your employees is not the same as yours. You need to know that. And just because you're ready doesn't mean they are. and the ability to actually create something that allows for you to unify is pretty big. So the strategy here, though, for you as the individual, is to actually go for the tough areas first. Identify the biggest barrier that's getting in the way of you accomplishing your goal or objective. Do you know what it is? So we actually, when we have our full-on training, we aren't going to be able to do it in depth, but we'll sort of scratch it a little bit. We talk about a thing called the theory of constraints. And constraints come in two primary forms. Constraints come in personal constraints and process constraints, okay? So think about it this way. No organization, no marriage, no family, no school, no whatever. No organization can rise above the level of its own leaders. No country, okay? Got it? That's the personal constraint. So what is it about me that if I shifted or changed this one thing, that it could actually accelerate some of these desires or goals that I may have? The second one is process constraints. Process, systems, policies that are created. Who creates those process, systems, and policies? The leader does, right? What do we do, guys? Think about this when it comes to constraints. We spend an exorbitant amount of resources, time, energy, talent, trying to create what? Better processes, new policies, new laws, right? Anybody see a problem with that?
See what Trump says, get rid of two and make one new.
Could be another problem. I don't know. Here's the problem. If the processes or the systems or whatever it is that we're trying to put in place to create this whatever improvement that we want is created by a leader that's broken, there's a good possibility that the process, policy, or system isn't going to work either. Guys, we got to fix the leader first. If we don't fix the leader, you can come up with a gazillion policies and processes as you want. No organization can rise above the level of its own leaders. Just that simple. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. What if we can get some kind of tool that helps us to identify and break those constraints so that we can be a continuous improvement leader and a continuous improvement organization and a continuous improvement culture? Anybody in for that? Hey, is this leadership stuff easy? It's not easy, right? But I'll tell you what, the stuff I'm sharing with you, it's not rocket science either. Nothing real complicated about transformational leadership. It's just not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. So all of us, every day, what are you willing to do that maybe others may not be willing to do? That's number six. Number seven, you revert back to the old behaviors when the pressure is off. Now, I know that's never happened in anybody here in this room, but on the occasion for the guy or gal who goes back to that problem or situation or loses 10 pounds, gains 15, whatever it is that, you know, we've all been through it, right? So you revert back to the old behaviors when the pressure is off. This is where those friends, what we call in transformational leadership, bumper buddies come in. Find bumper buddies. Find people who can bump you back on track to accomplish your goals. Now, here's a working definition of a bumper buddy. A bumper buddy loves you enough to tell you when you have lettuce in your teeth. All right? And you trust them enough to tell them when you're wandering, when you're getting off course. It's Joe, right? Is that Is it Joe? Is that your first name? Yeah. James, sorry. So James was my bumper buddy a few minutes ago. I was getting all ready to come up here and get in front of you guys and put my mic on and everything. And you know how you get kind of focused as a presenter. And James goes, "Psst. Your fly's down." You guys imagine about 2 hours up here, flies hanging down. You know, you're like kind of thinking you're just nailing your presentation. And, you know, guy waits to the end. James comes up after it's all said and done. No one told you, but your fly's been down for 2 hours. Oh, thank you. He loved me enough before I got up here to actually bump me back on track. Thank you, James. You are my friend forever, all right? Guys, how many of you have those kind of relationships in your life? Those are important relationships, right? Because look, this is not about being perfect. This is about being perfected. It's about positioning ourselves for improvement. Man, am I glad he was in my life tonight, all right? What a blessing, all right? But either way, I've been down so many rocky roads, I would have figured out how to turn it into a pretty funny situation either way. But that's a friend. That's a bumper buddy, all right? So get those people in your lives. People who love you enough to tell you when your fly's down, all right? And you trust them enough to actually look and go, oh, hey, you're right. Thank you very much, all right? Here's number 8. Change can be fun. Smile. Look at me. Come on, smile. Big body language smile. Say, change can be fun. Nod. Yeah. 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 By Saturday, you'll be like, yeah, sure. All right. All right. Look, change can be fun.